working through this idea of spending our days with Jesus, an ordinary day with Jesus. And we started off talking about this verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, which says, "When all that you do, in word or deed, do all of it for the to the glory of God." Everything that you do to the glory of God. So how do we crawl into that verse and actually live out our life in such a way that everything that we do brings glory and honor to God? So we talked about things like starting our day with Jesus and going to sleep and actually getting sleep and actually taking care of our bodies and eating well, not only physically eating well, but also taking in God's Word into our minds and our hearts, and that we feed our souls off of God's Word. And we talked about relationships and how we are to live out our relationships, and we bring glory and honor to God through our relationships and how we talk to people and interact with people, how we listen to people. And last week we talked about our jobs, our work, whether you're stay-at-home mom, or if you're going to work somewhere, or if you're a student in school, that we actually start our days and pray through what we're going to be doing, that we can invite God into our work day, into our ordinary days. And we actually find that rhythm that God set up in Genesis, where we actually give ourselves some time to rest and we build in a pattern. I mean, God didn't need to create in 7 days, but He created so that we would learn that there's a pattern to life, that we understand that we need to rest. So He gave us an actual pattern for us to follow. If you read through the Scripture in Genesis, where He rested and he praised, and He just was excited about what He had done, and He'd worked through the end of His day and said, "It is good." So there's a pattern and a model for us to follow through that. But today we want to talk about something that I think is hard. I think people sometimes avoid it on purpose because they're not quite sure what to do with it. And that's actually hearing and understanding that God speaks to us and that we can actually listen to Him. We can actually work through and hear God's voice. Now, we have a video today, and I wished it was as easy as this video portrays it. Because if it was, then we really wouldn't have anything to wonder about. So let's watch this guy as he walks through his day with God. Now, wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy? That God was like your mom when you were a kid. She actually wrote you a note, folded it up, and put it in your lunch when you went to school. Did anybody's mom ever do that when they were a kid? A couple of you? No, nobody. Your moms are terrible. That would be nice, wouldn't it? It would be nice if you wake up in the morning and there's a note on your mirror scribbled in the steam It'd be nice if it was in the paper for you to read. It would just be that obvious. But that's not how God works. So I think there's a way for us to understand and be able to listen to what God has to say to us. How God speaks. You know, it's not unlike your cell phones. Everybody got a cell phone in their pocket? Hopefully you're not texting someone right now. If you are, stop. Jesse. But the beauty of our cell phones today, it's not like I'm not old, but I'm old enough to actually been around when answer machines became in to be the cool thing to have. I can remember the early 80s, everybody started getting answer machines, and you can actually then know. And then the caller ID phenomenon happened. Remember this? When you actually can know who's calling you, you don't have to just wonder. Right? My grandparents had a party line. Everybody lived in a house had a party line. Right? Who doesn't know what a party line is? Thank you. So a party line is that it's like one phone number and like four houses are on the same line. Right? And your house has a special ring. If it rings once, it's your house. If it rings ring, ring, then it's the second house. It's ring, 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 it's the third house. Ring, 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 it's the fourth house, right? I mean, it's the party line. And then, of course, you can listen to their conversations because they're all the connected phone lines, right? So that's not quite the same as it is now, right? We all have cell phones. We're constantly being contacted by everybody and anybody. And the beauty of a cell phone is you would know exactly who it is that's calling you, unless they're not in your phone, directory. But then if they're not in your directory, who answers a phone number if it's not from their directory? Like, no, you're the only one. Congratulations. Because nobody actually wants to talk to somebody you don't know who it is, right? We've been spoiled into believing that we can only talk to people that we know. But then, of course, the person that calls that you never want to talk to always calls. What do you do then? Send them to voicemail. And then, of course, nobody listens to voicemail, right? Nobody. No. Okay, some of you guys listen to voicemail. If you're one of those people who don't listen to voicemail, that's annoying. Because I left you a message for a purpose. To tell you something. Listen, it beeps at you. Beep, beep. Voicemail, talk to me. But when God calls, it's very similar to this. I'm getting a text message. Thank you, Daniel. Please stop messing around with me. All right, that's a bad idea, Daniel. Everybody's going to start texting me. I have to put my phone down now. So if we begin to hear God's voice, we have options. If you're actually in tune with the idea of listening to what God is saying, you have a couple of options. You can listen. You can actually begin to interact with that idea and begin to think about what God is talking to you about. Or you can press ignore, send it off to no man's land, and pretend as if it never happened. But God wants to talk to us. We have to begin to listen and understand what God is saying to us. The Scriptures have a few places that talk about this idea of hearing from God. We're actually going to spend most of our time in 1 Samuel chapter 3. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, you can do that. There should be a Bible there in the pew in front of you. But this first place I want to talk about is in John chapter 10. I want to read this to you. It talks about this idea of listening and hearing. It says, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So this idea that the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus is talking about himself in the Scripture, knows his sheep. And this is not some metaphorical thing that Jesus is saying. It actually makes sense to the people that are listening. I mean, these people have sheep. Now, I know sheep are not very smart animals. They're very herd mentality. They just kind of go wherever. But it is true that they do listen to the voice of the person who is their shepherd, who takes care of them on a daily basis. If they hear a voice that's strange to them, they won't follow. They'll actually follow the shepherd. They will do that. And so God says to us, through this metaphor that Jesus is using, this parable, that His sheep know His voice. For us to know our shepherd's voice, we have to listen. We have to be connected with it. We have to know what it means for Him to speak to us. He says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And so if we are going to hear God's voice, we have to begin putting into practice every day, like this verse we talked about in Colossians, every day, how do I put into practice listening to God's voice? So I think there's something for us to learn in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and this idea of listening. It's actually about Samuel. It's about his life that he's leading. His mother, Hannah, cannot have a child. She prays and prays and prays and prays to have a child. Finally, God gives her a child. And she immediately praises God for that child and then takes the child, Samuel, to the temple and says, I'm God giving you my son. I'm giving him back to you. And she leaves him at the temple so he can learn and grow up at the temple. So Samuel grows up with the chief priest Eli. So if you look in chapter 3, verse 1, we're just going to read the whole chapter. It's not too long there. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am. You called me? But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went back and he laid down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you, go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as he did the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning. They opened the doors of the house and of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, Here I am. What was it that he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, but ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all of Israel. So Samuel, this young boy, working in the temple, working for the chief priest, had yet to be introduced to this idea that God actually spoke to people. He had not yet been introduced. It said the word of God had not been in the land for a long time. So Samuel had not experienced it before. So there he's laying, expecting that his master Eli is calling to him. So he gets up and does whatever, you know, he's supposed to do. He gets up and goes, responds. What can I do for you? And in reality, it wasn't him at all. It was the Lord. So he didn't know God's voice, but he began to learn it. And when he actually learned it, what Eli taught him is something I think we need to learn. Because once he realized God was speaking to him, he said something that I think is powerful, that we can begin to apply to our own lives. Where he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So he took on a posture of listening. He began to actually pay attention to what God was saying. I think that is crucial for us to begin to understand what God is saying to us, is that we actually take on a posture of listening. What is God saying to us? Are we listening to Him? Are you preparing yourself to hear what He has to say? So Samuel listened and listened attentively. And he realized that God was saying something to him. And this time he wasn't saying something nice. He wasn't saying, "I love you." He wasn't saying anything, you know, that he particularly wanted to hear. He actually was giving him a hard word. Something he actually had to pay attention to, because it wasn't going to go well for his master Eli. Now if you go back and listen to read Eli's story, he had two sons and they were priests as well, and they begin to take advantage of people and begin to use their power to profit. From it. And he told Eli, "Stop it. If you don't stop it, things are going to go bad." Eli didn't control his family, didn't control his sons, didn't grab hold of that. And so Samuel is given this word that he has to go back and tell his master, this man who is basically his father, right? His mother had taken him to the temple. And he has to speak to this man and give him this word that God gave him. Okay, so it's a truck. Okay. Freaked me out there for a second. So not only did Samuel hear God's voice, he actually put himself in a place where he can begin to listen, but then he didn't shy away from the word. And Eli helped him with that. Don't hold anything back. You need to learn something here. When God tells you something, you don't need to shy away from it. We don't need to step away and go, "You know what, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to do that." But God gave him a word and he actually spoke it to Eli. And because he was faithful with that word that God had given him, God continued to speak to Samuel. He continued to talk to him. So he lived in this place. If you remember what we said at the beginning of that scripture, Samuel is literally in the place where God is. He's in the place where the Holy of Holies is, where the Ark of the Covenant sits in the temple. This is where Eli lives. So he's in constant contact with God. Constant contact with God. He's in a place where he can begin to listen. And the scripture says Eli grows up listening to God. He grows up listening. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? I mean, if you've been a Christian for a long time and your parents were Christians when you were a kid, wouldn't it have been a great place to be that if our parents could have taught us how to hear God's voice and taught us how to listen? But being in America, I think that's a hard thing for us to understand. It's a hard thing for us. It's just a little bit too weird for some people. God can actually speak to you. You can hear it and you can actually reply to that. I'm not sure if we teach our kids how to do that. But the scriptures say that Samuel sat there and he listened to God's voice. And with the help of Eli as he grew up, he continued to be in this posture of listening. He listened. And so God continued to bless him. There's also this idea of this that we can learn, that this is this learned behavior, that we can hear God's voice and it's learned behavior. Now, has anybody ever gone out and tried to do something, you practiced once and think you had it, and then you went actually and tried to do it? I mean, it's just a bad idea. It's just not a very smart thing. I mean, if you've ever like played an instrument and then thought you had it, and then you just went out and did it. When I was in 10th grade, I had the opportunity to go to California, my first ever trip to California, with the band. The band in my high school was going to go and march in Disneyland, and we were going to get to go. Now, I quit band in the 7th grade so I could play football. I wanted to play football, And I really didn't want to play my trombone anymore. It just wasn't the cool thing to do, you know. So I wanted to go play football. I wasn't any good at football, but I wanted to play football. So I quit. Well, then 10th grade came along. I was long past football. They took me from wide receiver to lineman, and I was like, no way am I playing lineman. I quit. So I quit. Then I quit football. So 10th grade came around, and it was like, oh, California, Disneyland. I've never been there before. I'll join the band. Not only did I join the band in 10th grade after not even playing my trombone for 3 years, I joined at the middle of the year, in December, at Christmas time. I joined the band. Not because I wanted to be in the band, because I wanted to go to Disneyland. Well, here's the problem when you go to Disneyland. It's a marching thing, right? It's a parade. Everybody been to the parades in the Disneyland? You know, the bands are walking around. Well, guess what I didn't know how to do? March. I barely could play my trombone. Barely. I was last chair. I mean, I hadn't played trombone in 3 years. So we get out there and we beat. Now, I only joined in the middle of the year, so I missed all of marching season in the 10th grade. Missed it. And I have a problem with walking and staying in. I have an issue with that. I've had an issue with it for a long time. When I went to military school, we had this thing. They made fun of me because of bear walking. Anybody heard of bear walking? Now, most people wouldn't. Yeah, you, because you went to school there. You know what I'm talking about. So when you walk, most people do what? They walk with their hand. I'm going to mess it up. You know, take this foot is opposite of your hand, right? And then you go like this. Most people walk like this. It's not that hard. We do it all the time, right? Well, bear walking is, and the only way I can do it is grab my pants. Is bear walking is this. You walk like this. Well, I'm so freaked out about marching, I can't march. Why? Because I hadn't done it in ever. So I have two choices. I can play my trombone and be out of step, or I can be in step and not play my trombone. I didn't want to look like an idiot, be the only kid there walking like this. So I chose not to play my trombone because I had no clue what I was doing. So for us to be able to hear God's voice, it actually has to be something that we do on a regular basis. We can't just think we can do it one day and then go, okay, I'm done. And just walk out and never even think about it again, never practice it again. I mean, Samuel spent his growing up years listening to what God had to say. He wasn't a prophet because God called him out one day and said, just go. God raised him up in that. His mom took him at birth and placed him at the foot of the high priest and said, I want him to grow up here. So how do you take a posture of listening to God and hearing His voice? It has to be something you do on a daily basis. For something for us to get into that, for us to begin to practice that, we have to listen like Samuel did. We have to say, speak, God, your servant is listening every day, all the time. As we're at work, as we're at school, as we're driving down the street, as we're playing with our kids, whatever it is that you do, we have to get into this practice where we actually say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We don't think we can just do it and it be okay. Because the reality is, we won't ever actually do it. We'll go the other way. We'll actually stop listening. Because Samuel's first word was not pleasant. There are going to be days where we hear what God has to say and we may not like it. So we have to align our experiences and our practice with God, or we're never going to hear His voice. We also have to align what God is saying with His character. We can't assume everything that comes into our minds and hearts is from God. We can't. Does what you hear actually align with God's character? For example, you meet someone and then your next thought is, I sure would like to hurt that person. Because they annoyed you, they did something to you, you've known them for a long time. Is that a word from God? If you wanted to, you could actually go get a piece of scripture to help you out with that. All I did, I got a computer program, I just typed in the word kill into my computer program, hit search. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 2. Let me read that to you. If all you did was open up your Bible into Deuteronomy 7, chapter 2, didn't read verse 2, you never read anything else in the Bible, and it says, when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Well, that's exactly what I want to do to that person. That's perfect. Thanks, God. You can't assume everything that you hear is aligning with God's character and is a word from God. So is what He's saying to you, is what you're hearing actually aligned with what God's character is and who He is? Which helps us in this idea of us understanding the Scripture, because the best place for us to begin to hear God's voice is for us to know God's Word. Dallas Willard, a guy, he's a really smart guy, teaches down at University of Southern California, wrote a lot of different books, wrote a book called Hearing God. He quoted this guy named Frederick Meyer, and this is what he said. He says, the written word is the wire along which the voice of God will certainly come to you if the heart is hushed and the attention is fixed. So knowing God and understanding His characters comes from the Scriptures. It begins to help us discern the words that we get. We begin to put that into practice, into our life. Was what we talked about a couple weeks ago when we talked about beginning to consume and nourish ourselves on God's Word. Not, it's not just food so we can stay alive, but we're eating God's Word, we're consuming God's Word on a daily, regular basis so we can discern His character. Because if you read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 2, then we just said, kill them all. But we know that that's not true and that's not aligning with God's character. Because if the word you get is kill, and I wrote this down because I want to get this stressed right, you truly check the Scripture, you cannot walk away believing the word is a word from God. Thou shalt not kill comes to mind. Love your enemies. If a man asks you for your coat, give him your shirt as well. If a man asks you to walk a mile, walk two with him. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is kind and patient. And without love, we're just a noisy gong. That's Scripture. We can't align our anger and a word in word with God in the same direction. We can't. Because we have to begin to discern Scripture. So if we're going to hear God's voice, we have to practice. We have to. We have to be quiet. We have to listen. The Scripture that Kim read when Elijah was on the mountain and those three really noisy things came through. The wind, the earthquake, the fire. And they were all roaring and loud and destructive. And God's voice was in none of them. It was in the whisper when Elijah covered his face. So we have to practice. We have to be still. We have to be quiet. Next week we're actually going to talk about solitude, where we can get into a place where we're quiet and we can hear God's voice. So we have to practice. We have to know what the word we're getting actually aligns with God's character and it aligns with God's word. The best place that we can hear from God is through His Scripture. So what is He saying to you? I think there's two possibilities, the two ways that God can be speaking to you today. Is what He's saying to you like what Samuel was getting? Was it for another person? Was it a word for someone else? Or maybe He's speaking to you, trying to tell you something specifically about yourself. A couple of weeks ago, Daniel had an experience with this. And he begged me to tell the story for him, but I said no. Because I think it's good for us to rejoice and to hear stories about how we are growing in our faith. So Daniel's got a story he wants to come tell you, begrudgingly. Did you leave the microphone on? Did you leave this one on? Okay. I told him I'd make him look good when he was done, so listen to him.
We were working in the fireworks booth, and, just selling a lot of fireworks, that kind of thing. Now it was slave driving. And a young mother, 18, 19-year-old, walks up with a 3-year-old, about Owen's age, and the kid's without a shirt, has been swimming all day, and he's just full of energy. so I just, you know, talking with her, and she's getting fireworks, and she brings the coupon. She leaves a coupon in the fireworks, you know, free fireworks with $50 purchase. And she's like, she wanted to know about that. I'm like, well, you know, it's $50 purchase, and she obviously did a lot of money. And so we ended up giving her free fireworks anyways, and she goes and swipes her card. And it doesn't work. I'm just like, it again, it doesn't work. And we had several cards that did this. And she's like, well, I'll go get some money, and I'll be back. And because the kid had to go to the bathroom anyways, so she left. And while she was gone the whole time, I just felt very overwhelmingly that I was supposed to pray for her. And I didn't know how, and I didn't know what or anything like that. But I knew that just I had to. And so I, you know, kind of pondered over this. She was gone like 10, 15 minutes. Like, you know, how would I do that? Is this just going to be a story where, you know, oh, well, God was talking to me. I didn't do anything. And, you know, and so she comes back with cash, and we, you know, throw in some free fireworks anyways, and leaves. And I'm grabbing boxes because I was slave driving. And putting some boxes away because it's towards the end of the night. And she's putting her kid in the car, and I go, hey, how old's your kid? Oh, 3 years old. And I said, you know, this is really weird, and I never do this. But do you need prayer for anything? And she looks at me, and her eyes fill with tears. And she goes, yeah. And, you know, ends up she's just a single mother. And so I prayed for her right there on Yosemite Avenue. And she's crying, and I'm crying, and I'm shaking. And, you know, it was just incredible. And, you know, she, you know, after I prayed for her, I hugged her, and she left. And that was it. Last time I've ever seen her. And, you know, I, 15 minutes after that, I couldn't lift boxes now that I was trying to play drugs. Like, I can't lift boxes. That was it. And so that was my experience.
All right. Cool. Dave Ramsey has a concept that we learned in his class that we did for financial class, that we should celebrate with each other on victories. And this is a victory, I think, where Daniel took and experienced and said, look, I'm going to do this. He stepped out of his comfort zone. Is that the first time you ever done that, Daniel?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, it was out of his comfort zone, but he listened to the Spirit. And he had a word for someone else. He had a word for her. He prayed for her. Granted, you don't know her. You don't never seen her again. But that doesn't matter. Because he listened to God's voice. Maybe God is telling you something for someone else. Maybe God is telling you something for yourself. I want to end with this story. And I'm going to read it to you. Then we're going to do something together. But it's a story about this idea that if we were to actually not listen to God, that there would actually be someone that's life would be affected by it. It's a story by this woman named Mary Ann Bird. This is her own story, and she tells it in her own words, and she wrote it and it was printed in a magazine. It says, I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, a crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, what happened to your lip? I'd tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside of my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade who we all adored, Mrs. Leonard. She was short, round, and happy, a sparkling lady. Annually, we had a hearing test. And this, I'm assuming this is before technology, because it's an interesting hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class, and finally it was my turn. I knew from the past that we stood against the door and covered one ear. The teacher sitting at her desk would whisper, and we would have to repeat it back, things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? I waited there for those words that God must have put in her mouth, those seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, I wish you were my little girl. So if you were Mrs. Leonard and you never spoke those words, Mary Ann Bird would have been a different girl. She would have missed that. that love that came from other people, that love of acceptance from God. So what is God trying to tell you? Does He need you to tell someone something that they need to hear? Does God need to tell you that He loves you, that you're accepted? What do you need to hear from God? Jesse's going to come, and he's just going to play quietly. We're going to put you in a place of discomfort. I'm going to let you sit there quietly and just close your eyes and listen. And in your heart and in your spirit, I'm going to pray this prayer. And when I say this, I want you to pray this in your spirit. Speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. And just sit there and listen. And let this be the day. Maybe this is the first day you've ever actually practiced listening to God's voice. And if it's the first day, don't let it be the last. Let it be the start of listening. That we can have more stories like Daniel's, where we interact with people and we tell them about who the love of Jesus is just by simply praying for them or connecting with them, because he has a 3-year-old and so does she. How can we do that? So let me pray for us. Jesse, you can go ahead and start. And then we'll just be quiet for a few minutes. Let's pray. Father, I just